Well, yeah, I had an ugly mother. No, just kidding.
All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here addressing boasting with respect to STA activity. There's both sanctified boasting that's sponsored by God, by Bible doctrine, and then boasting that stems from one's own STA. Obviously, it's clear that it is a verbal sin. It's sponsored by pride and arrogance, stemming from the mental attitude in that regards. It is a verbal activity that is prevalent in the time in which we live, in the last days, that we are to be aware of and warned of, not to fall for any enticement it might otherwise bring. And point D, page 2 of our notes, subpoint 3. In this vein, God will ultimately silence all STA boasting. He will employ His overruling will in this respect. Psalm 5:5. The boastful shall not literally be acquitted before your eyes. Translated, stand before your eyes. You do hate all who do iniquity. So it ultimately will not be maintained and persist. Isaiah 44:24. Isaiah 44:24-25. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the one who formed you from the womb. So God's involved in regards to the creation of the fetus. I, the Lord and the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself, didn't need any help in His creation of the universe, and spreading out the earth all alone, causing the omens of boasters to fail, the signs of boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners, causing wise men to draw back and turning their knowledge into foolishness. In regards to God's creation, He did it under the essence of His divine attributes. And in that respect, there are those who seek to explain God, and yet He continues to throw them for a loop. If you don't believe me, ask the weatherman around here in that regards, as they continue to misjudge, misevaluate God's creation and weather. All their explanations, this cow flatulence is causing the global warming, you know, all these things. That kind of stuff's been around for years in that respect. God's a creator. He did it perfectly. And men do well to align their thinking with God, recognize Him as the intelligent super being that created it, and approach it from that standpoint. Ezekiel 35:13-14. And you have spoken arrogantly against me and have multiplied your words against me, I have heard. Thus says the Lord God, as all the earth rejoices, I will make you a desolation. Here in a prophecy against Mount Seir, obviously, as it would relate to the last days, God's intervention on men historically. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. As we read earlier, not many are called of the wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong, which are strong, ultimately silencing their boast of accomplishments. So he... underwriting boasting is failure to acclimate to the grace of Bible doctrine. A boast stems from failure to recognize God's grace and presence in regards to all things. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. Now these things, brothers, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes. In regards to the revelation of things based on Bible doctrine and this impact and critique of others, etc. That in us you might learn, verse 6, not to exceed what is written, in order that no one of you might become arrogant on behalf of one against the other. For who regards you as superior? And what do you have that you did not receive? If you did not receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? In regards to any who make claims of superiority within the church, etc., to keep things within its doctrinal perspective, doctrinal balance. I like the words, do not exceed what is written. That is obviously an admonition in regards to let doctrine rule. Don't take liberties. The Fundies are notorious for that, taking liberties. Well, it doesn't say you're not supposed to do it. Well, it doesn't say that you're not supposed to have, you know, sex with animals either, in particular. But does that mean it's right? See, people and their rationalizations in regards to doctrine. That's why we restrict ourselves as a local church in regards to our activities, to what we do as a church in line with the proper ministries. And it goes not does not go beyond that. It is not supposed to. F, now specific areas of STA sponsored boasting that one might appeal to one to boast in. This includes, one, human intelligence, a big thing, the geniuses of this world. Human intelligence, one's viewpoint, education is all, constantly hammered, tried to be shoved down the throats of our society today. Again, nothing wrong with respect to these things in and of themselves, but to put your faith, your life, your trust in these things, to look at these things in evaluation in regards to what you are spiritually and before God is nothing but arrogance and pride and self. Jeremiah 9:23. We saw that. Do not boast in one's wisdom earlier. The STA boasting. That's human intelligence. One's intellect. Often intellect can be a stumbling block in regards to one's spiritual advance because they depend upon their intellectual prowess, human intellectual prowess, over the filling ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and the truth of doctrine in order to figure things out. One thinks because they have a higher IQ that when it comes to doctrine, they have a better insight. Well, I know people that have obviously had higher IQs than me that come up with some pretty stupid interpretations. Where'd that come from? It came from their arrogance. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. Again, there in regards to those of the wise, not many are called, those of human intellect. So human intelligence, education, I've seen it in the ministry. Those who are previous peers of mine who, being trained appropriately in a local church seminary with the good deposit and the proper seminary training is not enough. They have to go get their doctor's degree, and you look at where they at spiritually today as they abandon their local churches to go do these things. Things of that nature. See, putting this emphasis on education that takes them away from doctrine in and of itself. The whole thing is to be adequate. In regards to the apostles, the 12 apostles, they came from all kinds of different backgrounds. Paul was probably the most educated of the apostles in regards to his schooling. John seems to have that, but others, fishermen, Peter, and other types of backgrounds. So when it comes to doctrine, it's a whole different ballgame in regards to one's ability and insight in regards to doctrine. Obviously, you got to be able to think cognitively, to be rational, be able to read, understand vocabulary, at least at that level, but that's simply a normal IQ. But again, we see this around us constantly being shoved down our throats. If you don't go out and get it, that's such a crock. You know, some things you just want to throw your hands at. I have an ex-in-law, had a fourth grade education, became a millionaire. A fourth grade education, because he was able to invent something that the oil field needed. That's where he found his work, see. Again, we're not saying things wrong in and of these things, but you hear it. You have this pressure around you to put all this emphasis in these areas. I can tell you this in regards to my own person. I went to college, but I didn't do anything in college hardly at all because I had no drive, no motivation. Not until I got in seminary and I found something that I wanted was I able to excel. See, it's all in regards to one's desires, one's motivation, one's focus in that respect. So you hear this, people tend to get down maybe because they don't have the education that everybody else has around them. You know, I don't have the prowess of a recall of high use vocabulary words some of my peers do, but that doesn't make my truth any less than the truth. See, if I explain it, the evil's the black dog and good's the white dog, you know, the truth is a cross. So, either way, not to put your faith and confidence in that, because God can remove these things quickly, make them be worthless. How many people have doctor's degrees that are unemployed? All this education in Wall Street and things of that nature. And what happens? When the economy goes bad. See? Put your trust in God. Don't violate His geographical and directive will for your life. And He'll open and close doors for you. See? I know people that do have degrees and because of doctrine have taken lesser positions professionally. Well, they'll get their vindication ultimately. You know. My immediate thinking is Chris O'Lila. He was a teacher, you know, and made a good living being a teacher, and he took the church in Texas that, you know, folded except for one family that moved to Maranatha back with him. You know, yeah, come on down here, we want doctrine. You know, 5 years later, oh, not really. Well, thank you for uprooting my family and selling my home and all these things. And he got back and he could get a teaching job again. So he has another job. And that's part of this test. He recognizes it. But God still greases his skids. And he does well, see. And there's a lot of SG3 in the coffers for him because of his willingness and his sacrifice. Things of that nature. That's just an example. I like to have people that I can give good examples, you know, in that respect. What they're willing to do in order to maintain their integrity to be under face-to-face teaching. You know, that's the deal. He could have moved back here. But he, after he's moved, he I re-identified with Jack as his right pastor. And he was right for going back there. This is not some, just because we're adjusted like-minded churches doesn't make a revolving door in regards to sheep. That's violation in regards to right shepherd, right sheep. People in the denominational world, they don't have this restriction. So they just think, well, it's our denomination to make a difference who the pastor is. Well, they just throw the John 10 verses right out the window, see, to identify with the shepherd's voice. So anyway, get off of that. But as Paul gave us an example of sanctified boasting, that's a good boast for someone who has that type of fidelity and commitment to doctrine. So as encouragement to each and every one of us, and any who may be under test in that regard to their life. You're not alone. People do it and people pass that test. Two, another one, obviously, is human power, physical power. Like the strong men competition type of power. Military might. One's military. One's allies as nations. We saw that in regards to Moab earlier, Judges 7:2. I always think about, I can't even remember their names now, the power team, the evangelists went around trying to impress the kids with their physical skills and abilities of lifting weights and breaking things. Good grief. How pathetic is this stuff? Under the banner of Christianity. Judges 7:2. In regards to Gideon. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Gideon into their hands, unless Israel become boastful, saying, 'My own power has delivered me.'" See, Israel would have that problem too, as we saw. God reads people's tapes, etc. And to become overconfident, and rather than seeing God's hand really in these things and giving Him the credit, I want to take the credit for themselves. Psalm 20, verse 7. Verse 6, "Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed, delivers His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the mighty works of His right hand," literally. Verse 7, "Son boasts in chariots," that's the intent, "and son in horses," their military capabilities and abilities. "But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God." David looking at other armies. And relying upon their physical strengths and means and capabilities of warfare as that which will deliver them. David says, not in our case. Doesn't mean that their chariots or horses are any less. No, our boast is in God. Either God's for us or He's not. Now, obviously, there's a proper place for one being a part of the military. We understand that. But that's a military under the divine design of nationalism. That's what God sponsors. He doesn't sponsor the New World Order. He doesn't sponsor United Nations. You know, how quick would someone says, "Well, I want to go join the United Nations military," and a doctrinally just person say, "No, man, don't do that. Don't go that direction." But yet, go join our military that will attach themselves to it and support them. And they'll encourage them to do that. What's wrong with that picture? So, you know, under divine institution of nationalism, that's where God blesses the military. And obviously, in that regards, even then, the confidence should be put in God in regards to one's participation and exercise of such military abilities. Isaiah 20, verse 5. Just like all the rah, 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 yay, the women get to go to the front now and fight right along with the men. And in my thinking, I was going, how long will it be before it'll come up? Well, how about the draft? And sure enough, it wasn't a week later, 2 weeks, you see it. You know, they're already discussing it. Well, the women need to be part of a draft if we ever have one. So see, while this is accomplished, they want to put your daughters in harm's way. They don't care. These people don't care about other people's lives. All they care about is their own pockets, their own greed, their own power. And if you want to say that I'm rebellious, no, I'm not. We are to orient in regards to God's plan and be obedient to civil law otherwise. But this hoop law, and it's amazing, you know. Of course, I came out of a conflict. It wasn't technically a war, by the way. Vietnam was not a war. It was a police action. You know, we all carried a badge and we had cars, fast cars, and we chased all these people the whole place and gave them tickets. Yeah, right. But anyway... out of something that everybody in this whole country was against, and now they put them in another conflict that is very similar in regards to what they're engaged in going into other countries when there is no direct threat in regards to our country from them, truly. If that was the case, we had been in Saudi Arabia a long time ago, people. You know. And everybody now is rah, rah, rah. What is this? Where's this coming from? It's the last days. And you don't realize, some people, I think, still fail to really appreciate, we live in Babylon. Political Babylon. We're here to support the New World Order as a country. And that's our motivation. That's our direction. That's our focus. And everything about us in regards to the ultimate goal is to fulfill the desires of the New World Order. Of course, we want to be king as a nation in that respect. Get back here to my spot. Isaiah 20, verse 5. Verse 3, the Lord said, even as my servant Isaiah has gone naked and barefoot 3 years as a sign and token against Egypt and Cush. How'd you like that? That niche is a prophet. Naked and barefoot for 3 years. I couldn't handle people laughing at me. But anyway. Verse 4, so the king of Assyria will lead away the captives of Egypt and the exiles of Cush. Young and old, naked and barefoot with buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. Then they shall be dismayed and ashamed because of Cush, their hope, and Egypt, their boast. And we have these alibis. These are our friends. One of these days, Israel will wake up. But it's going to take a lot, still, for them to wake up in that regards. But obviously... God has useful idiots. He uses all things to perpetuation of His good and fulfillment of history for mankind. Recognize that. Three, wealth, money, to put your faith, confidence in money. Psalm 49:6. Verse 5, why should I fear in days of adversity when the economy is rough, when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me as they violate God's plan in order to maintain the status quo or pursue their own things in life. Even those who trust in their wealth,
see,
trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. To me, it's just, I'm amazed, you know, really how many rich people are out there in the world. I don't know if you ever watched a Wealth International channel. I mean, you picture like Fort Lauderdale and some of these other places, all these yachts that people own. There's literally thousands of them. And these yachts are, I guarantee you, you find one under $1 million, you're doing good. And you go, where do these people come from? Yeah. They're hooked in. Hooked into the cosmos in some form or fashion. And they put their trust in these things. Now, if I was a multi-billionaire, yeah, I probably would have one too. So everybody from Bible class go hang out and go fishing. See, for divine good. Jeremiah 9:23, again, the verse that we read earlier, wisdom, wealth. So you can put your confidence, your hope in regards to your money. Obviously, you ought to be a good steward. If you can afford to have savings, have savings. If you can't, faith rested. God will provide. Let's see. You're not going to not get the prize because you didn't have a 401k. Obviously, if you can have one, you can afford to have one, then I would suggest that you have one. That's being a good steward, to have savings if possible in that regards. Like having a security system for your home, you can afford to have one, have one. That makes common sense in the society we live in. But if you can't, what do? Lock the doors and faith rest. And keep it, you know, right there by the bedstand next to your bed. Keep what? I don't know. Your wife, so they can get up and beat him with head with a baseball bat. Four, we're not to put our hope in the future, tomorrow. Now, we read the James 4:13-16 earlier. As I refreshed our thinking in that regards, also Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Don't put your hopes into tomorrow. That can obviously relate to anything. It can relate to the reversionist, you know. Well, I'll get back in the class, you know, one of these days. Yeah, God bless you live that long. You will. Maybe you will. Five, we're not to boast in others that in a sinful way. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become foolish that he may become wise. Well, what is he saying there? Saying, when you get into doctrine, you need to put what you think you know aside and humble yourself, get in fellowship, and listen to the sound doctrine and reprogram your mind with that doctrine. That's how you fulfill that verse. See? Otherwise, you're under deception if you think you already know it. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God, verse 19. That's human viewpoint wisdom, see? Human viewpoint. Think you got it figured out, do you? For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. As they scheme in their viewpoint approaches to life, figuring things out to get their way, to meet their accomplishments, etc. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings otherwise, that they are useless. That they are useless in the context of fulfilling God's plan for their life. See, Paul considered his own educational upbringing as rubbish when it came to doctrine. And verse 21, so then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Everything stems from God. See? And that is truly who possesses us. And that is to where you are to look in regards for these things and to possess these things of wisdom, etc. So, there's not to be any competition among pastors, things of that nature. We have the examples of churches bragging who baptized who. They were under this ministry, they were under that ministry. Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize hardly anybody because of getting caught up in this circle of ST activity. See? So, not to boast in men. Obviously, that's STA boasting. Six, we are not to boast in toleration of evil. To tolerate evil. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 6, in the case of the incestuous Corinthian, this is simply an abuse of grace. Taking grace and extended it beyond this realm. Grace is not endless. It has depth, it's very deep, but it's not endless. And to tolerate certain SCA activity within a local church under the principle of grace is erroneous. And the Corinthian church had that issue, and that is the incestuous Corinthian situation. 1 Corinthians 5, 1-6 is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. It's incest. And you have become arrogant. Arrogant part of the boasting mentality, literally puffed up. See, it is the idea behind it. And have not mourned instead in regards to, I can't believe this is going on. See. In order that the one who had done this deed might not be removed from your midst. They failed to separate the individual, separate from him. Tell him that he is no longer welcome while he's engaged in that activity. Doesn't come to repentance. Change of mind. For I, on my part, though absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged him who is so committed this as though I were present. He didn't have to be there to see the wrong in this thing. Well, you weren't there. I don't need to be there. This is just wrong, mister. So I use that guy on occasion. Who cares? For I, on my part, though absent... Oh, verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, I decide to deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. Your boasting is not good. See, it's a form of boast. An abuse of grace. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? It spreads the leaven of the STA life. And you got to deal with it, especially at certain levels in regards to the local church. So, toleration of evil is not anything to boast in. Oh, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. Well, so what? That's not where you should be getting your jollies in that regards. All right, I'm going to let you all out just a little early here this morning since it's still snowing. We had about a half an inch about 7 o'clock this morning while I was looking out the window, and now we got about 3 or 4 inches out there. So I'll go ahead and let you go. Hopefully nobody gets stuck. If you do, Don Dade will hand push you out. Just kidding. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit continue to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.